In addition to these manifestly material objects, from the Buddhist point of view, phenomena like subtle particles, the various fields, electromagnetic, and the forces of nature, gravity, belong to this first realm of reality. However, for Buddhist philosophers, reality is not exhausted by the contents of this realm. There is also the realm of subjective experiences, such as our thought processes, sensory perceptions, sensations, and the rich tapestry of emotions. From the Buddhist perspective, much of this world can be found also in other sentient beings, though heavily contingent upon a physical base, including neural networks, brain cells, and sensory faculties. The mental realm enjoys a status separate from the material world. From the Buddhist perspective, the mental realm cannot be reduced to the world of matter, though it may depend upon that world to function. With the exception of one materialist school in India, most ancient Indian and Tibetan philosophical schools agree on the impossibility of reducing the mental to a subset of the physical. There is, moreover, a third realm of reality, the abstract composites, which can be characterized neither as physical in the sense of being composed of material constituents, nor as mental in the sense of inner subjective experiences. By this, I'm referring to many features of reality that are integral to our understanding of the world, phenomena such as time, concepts, and logical principles, which are essentially constructs of our mind, are distinct from the first two realms. Admittedly, all the phenomena that belong to this third world are contingent upon either the first or the second, that is, physical or mental, domain of phenomena, yet they have characteristics distinct from the other two. I gather that this taxonomy of reality, which goes back to the earliest phases of Buddhism's philosophical tradition, is almost identical to that proposed by Karl Popper. Popper called them the first world, the second world, and the third world. By these he meant, 1, the world of things or physical objects, 2, the world of subjective experiences, including thought processes, and 3, the world of statements in themselves, the content of thoughts, as opposed to the mental process. It is striking that Popper, whom I know had no background in Buddhist thought, arrived at an almost identical classification of the categories of reality. Had I known this curious convergence between his thought and Buddhism in the times I met with Popper, I would certainly have pursued it with him. Western philosophy and science have, on the whole, attempted to understand consciousness solely in terms of the functions of the brain. This approach effectively grounds the nature and existence of the mind in matter, in an ontologically reductionist manner. Some view the brain in terms of a computational model, comparing it to artificial intelligence. Others attempt an evolutionary model for the emergence of the various aspects of consciousness. In modern neuroscience, there is a deep question about whether the mind and consciousness are any more than simply operations of the brain, whether sensations and emotions are more than chemical reactions. To what extent does the world of subjective experience depend on the hardware and working order of the brain? It must to some significant extent, but does it do so entirely? What are the necessary and sufficient causes for the emergence of subjective mental experiences? Many scientists, especially those in the discipline of neurobiology, assume that consciousness is a special kind of physical process that arises through the structure and dynamics of the brain. I vividly remember a discussion I had with some eminent neuroscientists at an American medical school. After they kindly showed me the latest scientific instruments to probe ever deeper into the human brain, such as MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, and ECG, electrocardiograph, and let me view a brain operation in progress with the family's permission, we sat down to have a conversation on the current scientific understanding of consciousness. I said to one of the scientists, "It seems very evident that due to changes in the chemical processes of the brain, many of our subjective experiences like perception and sensation occur. Can one envision the reversal of this causal process? Can one postulate that pure thought itself could affect a change in the chemical processes of the brain?" I was asking whether, conceptually at least, we could allow the possibility of both upward and downward causation.